Good morning and welcome to each one this morning. It's good to have each of you here. I've been blessed by the service so far. Last song is an inspiration. Here a while back, I was driving along a backcountry road where there's a thick canopy of trees that was overhanging the road, and I was taking a building back there, so I was driving fairly slowly. And as I was easing down the road, watching my mirrors and making sure that building wasn't scraping against the trees, there was a sudden crash, and I slammed on the brakes instinctively. But the crash wasn't from the building. Just feet in front of me, a huge limb came crashing down on the road. It was an old dead limb, so it hit the road, and the little branches and twigs went exploding in all directions, and it was big enough. We had to get out and drag it off the road, and I thought, wow, wonder what influenced that thing to come down right now. Scared the liver out of me. But it made me think, how many years did that branch stay up there? Sticking out from the tree, good and strong, till finally gravity took over and it came crashing to the ground. And it made me think, you know, there's, regardless of what we do, gravity always wins. And that's the title of my opening this morning, Gravity Wins. And I'd like to think about that in the context of God's laws and how they are constant and how we see them in real events. Turn with me to Psalm 119. I'm just going to read the first eight verses, that first section there in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 speaks almost every verse about the law or the commandments or the work or the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the laws of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. The commandments of the Lord, the laws of God, their consistency. Thinking of gravity, living where we do on the edge of Tornado Alley, we've all seen the devastation that a tornado brings. Here a couple years ago, one came through the valley right below our house, and there were big trees that were simply picked up, and they were way over on the other side of the hill. But they did eventually come down. Even though they weren't coming down where I thought they were supposed to be, they did eventually come down. Just right over here in Fordland, we have the dubious record of the man who has carried the farthest in a tornado and survived. He was carried almost a quarter mile from where he was asleep on his grandma's couch to where he awoke, dazed and shaken in the middle of a field, nearly a quarter mile away. But eventually he did come down. Gravity won. Airplanes, we deliberately break the law of gravity. We try hard to get away from it for a little while. But in the end, we're glad when the airplanes come back down and gravity takes over again. So that's just to kind of illustrate the point that the laws of God, we can look at them as something to fight against. I want to break the law of gravity, but eventually it wins. Or we can look at it as something to work with. We understand that things are going to eventually come down. I found that out at a young age, where I had a little bow that I would shoot the arrow as high into the air as I could. And there are small holes in the roof of the barn back there that testify to the fact that gravity did eventually overcome it. And I'm sure Dad has plenty of stories to testify to the evidences of gravity overcoming those little projectiles. I tend, as I look at life, to look at kind of the negative way things work. at the negative side. So when I look at the law of gravity, my tendency is to look at it as, you can never get away from it. No matter what you do, it always comes back down again. That's one way to look at it. The other way is to look at it as something that's good and consistent. We can always depend on it. We always know that it's going to work. So when we do something, we can use it to our advantage. People use gravity to their advantage in lifting huge loads by making a counterweight. The counterweight's a little bit heavier than what they're wanting to lift, so it goes down, and what they're wanting to lift goes up. They used gravity in a positive way, and I believe we can look at the laws of God in the same way. I would like to look at a few stories here, starting in Genesis chapter 37. I'm not going to read these because it's going to cover quite a range of chapters, but I'd like to look at Jacob, his sons, and Joseph in relation to the law of God. And there are many, many stories that you could use, and there are many, many other extrapolations that can be taken from this story. But looking at it in the light of the law of God, how Jacob and then his sons did not pay good heed to what the laws of God were, and how that kind of took them into a downward spiral where finally it ended up with Joseph, who turned that around and used the positive laws of God to arrest this free fall. Looking at Jacob there in chapter 37 of Genesis, this is sort of at the beginning of the story of Joseph. If you think of Jacob, the first thing that comes to my mind, there's two, is one is greed and the other is fairness. And those are two laws that he seemed to live sort of in conflict with. Fairness is one that seems it started early in his life. He was used to his parents treating he and his brother differently, not treating them fairly. He used his power and manipulation to get Esau to pledge his birthright to him. He didn't treat him fairly. He didn't wait till Esau was thinking clearly to talk about the birthright. He waited till he got him hungry and then took it away by deception again at the last minute by dressing in goat skins and going into his father when he couldn't see. And then after all that, he seemed unable to grasp why it was that Esau hated him so much. But when we are focused on ourselves, we are unfair. And that's greed, and that's what Jacob faced. And then, as we look at Jacob, how he was treating his sons then, he wasn't fair with his sons either. Now, we might be able to look at it and say there was good reason for his preference. He wanted to marry Rachel in the first place. He didn't even want to marry Leah. But his father-in-law was unfair to him, so what's he supposed to do? So he's unfair in return. And look what happens to that. Because of his lack of fairness, his extra strong love of his two youngest sons and their mother, the flip side of that was he was neglecting his older sons and their mother. And it wasn't just preferential treatment, but there was slavish gifts he was giving to Joseph and Benjamin that weren't being given to his older sons, and they felt that keenly. And the result of his lack of fairness was alienation of his own children. Dislike and distrust. And eventually, they did the same thing as he had done to his father in deceiving him. They couldn't trust him because they no longer believed he had their best in mind. Jacob had been treated unfairly, but he seemed to have forgotten how crushing that was and simply did it again. His wages had been changed on him. But he also seemed to forget that God had treated Jacob fairly. In spite of his mistakes, in spite of his shrewdness, when his father-in-law had changed his wages and said, you can only have this color cow instead of that color cow, the color of calves that were born were the color that benefited Jacob. He seemed to have forgotten that. Thanks to God's blessing, Jacob had prospered. But here he went back into his old habits of being unfair. And that's That's a good lesson to us to develop good habits as we're young. Those are things that stick with us. Our character traits often that we begin developing as we're young get cemented as we get older. But also made me think of how God deals with us. What's God's law of fairness in relation to us? Well, I believe God deals unfairly with us. And I know we've heard this before. But how does God deal unfairly with us? I believe God deals unfairly with us in that he allows us to continue making mistakes. He allows us to lose our way and fail. God is our creator. He could demand service. He could demand that we always adhere to him. But he doesn't. His love instead draws us. Fairness would be immediate punishment when we do wrong. But we don't see that. Instead, we're met with compassion and forgiveness. And in the life of Jacob, unfairness, even though it seemed reasonable and rational to him, was the cause of much grief. It led then in Joseph's brothers to envy, which is another law. The result of envy we see, it led them to actions they never would have engaged in rationally. Taking extreme action against a young man, throwing him in a pit, plotting to murder, eventually selling him into slavery, and then lying to their own father or deceiving him about what had become of him. The turmoil it brought in their own lives then, you can see that later when they came to Egypt, they had gone through a lot of grief and turmoil because of that. But that's the law of envy. That's the result of envy. So we see this downward spiral, but then it's arrested as Joseph brings in the law of forgiveness. And again, I believe that it's how we can look at the laws of God as things that we can fight or as things we can use for benefit. Joseph used the law of forgiveness and the law of compassion and was able to arrest the plunge that everybody had been hurling themselves into. Think of how early on in the story he had to start using forgiveness. It was before they ever threw him in the pit. It was from the snide remarks and the sideways glances that had started early on when he still didn't know why. But it led then into the times when he was riding on a camel, sold into slavery by his own family. When he was falsely accused in the house of Potiphar, when he was thrown into prison on a false charge, he continued to forgive. And we see a total lack of bitterness in the way that he was able to show compassion to his fellow inmates, put in charge of the prison. A bitter, unforgiving person cannot take care of those around them. And Joseph, we see clearly that he cared about the other prisoners. He had their best in mind. It's the evidence of forgiveness and compassion. So that snowball effect that we saw in the lives of Jacob and his older brothers, where unfairness begat more unfairness, begat envy, bad works, that same snowball effect is true in good things. And we see that in Joseph's life. As he was forgiving and compassionate, that grew and grew as well. So we can harness that. The snowball effect is not necessarily something that has to be negative. We can use God's laws in a positive way. We can use the positive laws of love and kindness and forgiveness. When the butler forgot to speak up for Joseph, he had to forgive again. And he did it gladly. There was no recrimination when he came out and was then put in charge of the entire country, second to the Pharaoh himself only. Then when the brothers came, I find it interesting that Joseph freely forgave them. But he tried him out first. He was willing to forgive. He wanted to forgive. But he also wanted to be sure that there was actual repentance. And that's a picture to me of how God works with us. God wants to be there for us. He wants us to come. But there needs to be evidences of repentance and changed lives. What a change of direction in this story. From the free fall of sin, unfairness, greed, envy, corruption, hard-heartedness, to the redemption of forgiveness, compassion, love, and acceptance. It's proof again that God's laws work. Conclusion, I'm going to read Psalm 119, verse 7 again. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Let's kneel in prayer.